Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that the day that God called your name and you came out of the grave? Amen. What a marvelous day. Father, we just welcome the Holy Spirit into this place today and into the homes of those that are watching or wherever they may be watching today or listening today or listening later on. We just speak God's blessings upon you and that God's favor is running to overtake you today. Thank you for this word, Lord, that you are going to speak forth today by your Holy Spirit, that we will be encouraged and find hope in these times. And we just say amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Does anyone recall the movie that came back out in 1996 called The Twister? The movie was about a storm chaser chasing tornadoes. I don't think that would be something that I would want to do, even to get paid for it. But anyway, the movie was called Twister, and toward the end of the movie, they found themselves in the midst of an F5 tornado. Of course, you know, at the movies, there's always got to be a climax ending to it. And so, but these two people found themselves in the midst of this tornado, and taking shelter in a water pump facility, they fastened themselves to deeply rooted pipes. And as the tornado passed overhead of them, everything around them was blown up and torn apart and just chaos. But they were holding on to those rooted pipes that were anchored in the ground. And today's our message is going to be titled, An Anchor of Hope. And so if we ever needed hope as people today, we do with these uncertain times and these challenging times. And so in Psalms 42, we're going to get into the word now. In Psalms 42, verse 5, here's David talking, and he begins to talk to himself. And he was very depressed and despondent, and he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you." Verse 6, "Oh my God, my life is cast down upon me, and I find the burden more than I can bear. Therefore, will I earnestly remember you." In verse 11, he says again, why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. So, you know, here we read about David being very despondent, very depressed, and very discouraged. And he begins to talk to himself. You know, sometimes we have to talk to ourselves at those times that we are feeling down, depressed, and despondent. So David begins to talk to himself, and he begins to ask his soul, why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted in me? Reminding his soul, this is where our hope comes from. He says, put your hope in God, soul. I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. Therefore, I will remember where my hope comes from. So let's go on over to Hebrews this morning, to starting in chapter 6, I think it's about verse 16 to 19. And when we begin to read this, we can begin to understand that it's the certainty of God's promise of hope to us. And so when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this, though, by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where a forerunner, Jesus, has entered in on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever. Another translation says, so it is impossible for God to lie, and now we run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. And what is that, that he empowers us to seize and has already been established ahead of time? An unshakable hope. So we have a certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Wow. So when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, an anchor was a very popular image in the ancient Mediterranean world, because in that the economy depended on shipping, and the shipping with ships coming in and bringing supplies and things. So they were familiar with the word anchor. The anchor symbolized safety and steadiness. The writer of Hebrews used the word anchor to remind believers that God had given a hope that holds firm in any storm. And we know that anchor is what secures a boat in open water. Away from a dock, nothing can keep it in place but an anchor. The anchor keeps the boat from drifting off in any direction. An anchor has the ability to steady a boat in surging waves or shifting tides or in storms or high winds. It keeps the vessel from losing its way or drifting off course. It keeps the ship from being at the mercy of the winds, as I said. So if you're out on a ship and you get tired, you can say, you go to down under into the bunkers and to the cab part of the boat, and you can drop the anchor, you know, before you go down there, and you don't have to worry about where the ship is to go going while you're resting. Why? Because it's been anchored down. Psalms 48:8 says, "In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Anchor provides a certain peace and assurance that everything's going to be all right. So our hope, our anchor is in Jesus, knowing that everything's going to be all right. He is what steadies us in these uncertain and changing times that we're in right now, to keep us from being shaken. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 10, it says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Why? Because our anchor is in Jesus. It's been rooted. Amen. The storms of life can toss us in many different directions sometimes. And what an anchor does for a boat is what it does in our lives as believers. When the winds begin to blow, we know we have an anchor for the soul that is firm and established and secure and fortified. You know, anchors are not always necessary to be used. You know, the boat could go out there, and when the weather's on the lake and the weather's fine and there's no wind and no storms and you're just sailing around, you're not using the anchor. But it's there for you when you need it. And that's what anchor of hope is like in our lives. We know that life is not always stormy, and we're not always going through things. We're not always going through a storm. There are many, many sunshiny days for the people of God. But storms do pop up in our lives. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And, you know, like the storm chasers, they went to chase the storms. We don't have to chase storms. You know, the storms finds us, amen? The battle finds us sometimes. But storms do pop up in our lives. And when they do, the anchor of hope is there that we are clinging to in those times. Proverbs 18:10 tells us, "The name of the Lord is a what? Is a strong tower, is an anchor. The righteous run into, and they're what? And they are safe." Psalms 9:12 says, "I will say of the Lord, you are my place of safety and protection." Going back to what we said about David. David been despondent and been in despair and been discouraged and been depressed. And he began to say, "Why are you like that, soul that's within me? Why are you like that?" So he begins to talk to himself and puts himself in remembrance of who his hope's in. He says, Psalms 91:2 says, "I will say of the Lord." I will say of the Lord. What are you saying in the times that you're being tossed about on the waves of life and storms that are tossing you about. You begin to say, I will say of the Lord, Lord, you are my place of safety and protection. You are my God, and I trust you. And I trust you. I may not understand it, but I choose to trust you and begin to talk to yourself. In the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 6, it detailed the promises that God bestowed upon Abraham, our father. And what God did for Abraham to confirm to him his promise to him carries over to us today that put our trust in him, put our trust in Christ. Abraham was led to believe and to accept a promise to have hope when everything seemed hopeless, to continue to have hope even when the promises of God seemed long time coming, even when he still trusted and believed God in hope, not wavering, that God was faithful. Abraham was led to believe and to accept a promise to have hope. And so we are, as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, we are called to believe and accept promises, and in them is our hope. What is here is referred to as the hope that is offered to us. Galatians 3:29 tells us, if you belong to Christ, if you are saved, if you are born again, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What God did for Abraham, bringing him hope in the midst of hopelessness when everything seemed to threaten the very promise of God that God had given to him in a lot of things, he still trusted God. And we're heirs to that same promise. The scriptures tells us that since we are heirs of Abraham, God had sworn those same promises to us. That goes to show us that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And that is just a wow thing too. The previous verses in Hebrews chapter 6 remind us that the Christian's hope is based on two unchangeable things. As we said and we opened the service this morning, that says, you know, we are living in uncertain times. We are living in times that none of us have probably seen before. You know, but we have to depend, rely, and put our faith in an unchangeable God, and a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the God that protects us and gives us hope. And so Hebrews 6:18 says, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs. Now, who are the heirs? They're the sons and daughters of God that have been born again. Excuse me. To show unto the heirs of the promise the unmutability or the unchanging of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. We who are sons of God are heirs of that promise, a promise from God confirmed by an oath. So God, the certainty of its being fulfilled rests on God's promises, God's oath, which he says, I cannot lie. We have grounds for our hope, church. The unchanging word of God that does not lie and that does not change. And if we put our trust in that covenant that we have with him, we have protection, amen, from the storm. It doesn't mean that we don't get hit sometimes, but we can raise up in victory every time and saying that God be for me, who can or what can be against me, amen. So the first one, Abraham, God promised land and descendants. And that same hope that rose up in Abraham to believe that God was faithful to his word is the same anchor of hope that is in us as believers. It's the same hope, church. Same hope that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Same hope. Those promises were threatened many times during Abraham's life, but Abraham hoped in the anchor of God's promises, and those promises were eventually fulfilled. Jesus, our forerunner. Jesus ran ahead of us. It says Jesus is our forerunner. A forerunner is one that goes ahead and prepares the way and leaves an example for all those that are coming behind them. The forerunner Jesus ran, came to this earth as a man, left heaven, and being the Son of God, came to this earth as a forerunner. We know that he ran the race of life. He ran through death and returned victorious to life, raising from the dead. Following his footsteps as that forerunner gives us an anchor for our souls. Because if we know that Jesus can do it, the same power that raised him from the dead, the same power that enabled him to walk the dusty roads of Galilee and spread the good news, that same Holy Spirit, that same power that raised him from dead, what dwells in us? So that gives us even more hope and encourages us to continue to lean on, to grab a hold of, and to hold to that anchor of hope that he has given us. So our hope is anchored, hooked on to, fastened to the one who has gone before us. The anchor of hope is in us as believers. Our hope is based on certainty, like Abraham's, not on uncertainty like the world's. Our hope is grounded in our acceptance of God's word and what he says, because again, we know that he cannot lie. So if we have a situation in our life and that sudden storm pops up, what do? We go to the word. Go to the word. Go to the word. Find that scripture to lean upon, and that becomes your anchor during that storm. Amen. So our hope is based on the certainty of God's word. And in a world of all kinds of change and uncertainty and fear, we do have an anchor. We have a hope. We have a stability that will keep us from being wavered from one way to another. When, you know, this one says this and we see this and that or the other and we become going back and forth. He says, no, I want you to stand on the promises of my word, which gives us hope to stand and stand. So we have an anchor, we have a hope, we have stability here now, and then we have an eternity that's guaranteed in Christ our Lord. Amen. We have an eternal promise to someday go live with him. But in the meantime, we have a life to live here, and he has given us all the resources that we need to live an overcoming life in this life now. So we're grounded and deep, firm in God's love for us. And who shall separate us, the Bible says? Who or what shall separate us from the love of God? He goes on and he begins to list all these things that's going to come to try to separate us from his love. But our hope is rooted and grounded in the promises of God's word. And you know, our hope is not in our job. God has blessed us with a job to make a living and to supply our needs here on this earth. But our hope is not in that job. It's not even in our president. It's not in the stock market. It's not in your family, not in your church, not in your pastors, not in your leadership. Those are things that can be taken away in the blink of an eye. But the anchor of hope is steadfast, unmovable, always there, always been, always has been. It's the beginning and the end is our God, where our anchor is. Unmovable, unshakable. Amen. He is our anchor of hope in these troubled times. The storm may rage around us, but church, it's not in us. And that's why you have to pull on to that and know what you're fastened to in these days that we're living. Knowing that you are fastened to an anchor that cannot be moved. You know, I was thinking, going back to that movie Twister, and that those two people were clinging to those steel things that had been in the ground and was anchored steadfast and tight. They were holding on to that. Everything around them was blowing up and tearing apart and uprooted. But you know what they were doing? They were clinging to that. And the storm eventually fastened. Pass by, amen, because they fastened themselves. They grabbed a hold of something that they had their faith in that was not going to move during the storm. And we know that when we cling to the rock that is higher than I, let the winds blow, they'll pass us by. Amen. So he is our anchor of hope in these troubled times. But the storm may rage around us, as I said, but it's not in us. It's not in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have that Spirit of hope in us. Amen. John Maxwell said, I remember reading one time in one of his books, John Maxwell said, when there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. And you know, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have felt completely hopeless, even as a Christian, even as a spirit-filled child of God. And there's nothing no worse than a feeling of hopelessness. It leaves you stranded. It leaves you stagnated. It leaves you feeling like you have no choice but to be in the position that you are. And it feels like there's no way out. There's no way out. And so when there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. And I thought, oh my, when I remembered him saying that, I thought, yeah, that is so true. Because, you know, we don't have hope for the future, then we're not going to be able to live in the now, because we were going to begin to think there is no future to go into. You know, and looking at all the things around us, there are times when we may think, let's just give up, go home, lock our doors, sit down, settle down. But no, he's calling the church to rise up, because we know where our hope is at, and that hope that we could offer up to other people. Jeremiah 20:11 plainly tells us what he has for our future. He says, I know the plans for you. I have for you, declares the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that? And in those times when that spirit of hopelessness wants to come to you, that wants you to just say, give up, bunker down, hunker down, just forget about it, things aren't going to get any better, you know, then you can go back and you say, you know, you, like I said, like David did, we can begin to talk to ourselves. We begin to say, self, you don't need to be talking like that. So let the Spirit of the Lord rise up within you and begin to speak through you and begin to say, you know, that's not true. The truth is what Jeremiah 29:11 has spoken to me, that says, I know the plans that I have for you. And sometimes if we don't know the plans we have, that may be a good thing, because we can go to the one that has the plans. Amen. He says, I know the plans for have you. And we can say, thank you, God. And then he says to him, declares the Lord. And he said, these are the plans I have for you. Plans of peace and not disaster. And another translation says calamity. I have plans for you for peace and disaster. Plans to give you what? A future filled with hope. Hallelujah. So if you're feeling hopelessness today, if you're feeling like there's no hope, guess what? That's not the plan of God for your life. That's not the plan of God for you at this moment. He says, my plans for you is to give you peace. He says, my plan for you is to give you peace, a life of nothing missing or broken, to give you peace. And when the storms come to your door, you won't be rocking back and forth under the weight or the wind of it. I give you peace, not disaster. I've not come to destroy, but I've come to give life and plans to give you a future. And he said, that future is going to be filled with hope. Hallelujah. And hope is knowing. Hope is having an attitude of knowing that there are better days ahead. You know, right now we may be right in the middle of a storm in our life. For some of you, it may be the best time of your life. And for some, it may be like, oh my, this is the worst day of my life, or this is the worst time of my life. But you know what? Get that attitude of hope back within you. Begin to look in the mirror, begin to speak to yourself. And begin to say, so, better days are ahead. Better days are ahead, because my hope is grounded in the Word of God. That's my anchor. Hope is knowing there are better days ahead. Hope is believing that this too shall pass. And that's what the enemy of our souls wants us to believe when we are in the middle of that storm, we're in the middle of that situation of life. He wants us to believe that it's always going to be that way. But I've come to tell somebody today that whatever you're going through at this moment, no matter how bleak it looks, this too shall pass. Hallelujah. Hope is faith in a great big God of endless possibilities. Hope is faith in God. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I can't do nothing good. You have come to the point of your miracle, of the day of your miracle. Because the day of your miracle comes when you realize that you may not have no plans for the future. When you realize that there's nothing you can do. When you realize that you don't have any plans. God said, yeah, now I can do the miracle. Now I can show them what my plans are and what the future holds for them. It's full of hope. Amen. Better days are coming, church. Better days are coming to you and your household. Better days are coming to this nation. Better days are coming to those that feel like they've got no hope, says the Spirit of Grace. And I'm raising up a remnant of people in this hour that's going to stand on the truth of my word. And they're going to begin to prophesy that better days are coming. Though we're in this darkness now, great light has shone forth, and it's breaking through that dense fog that has people in. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I'm shaking them out of their lethargy. I'm shaking them out of their despondency. I'm shaking them even out of their self, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm raising up a body of believers that will say so. Hallelujah. Better days are coming. Amen. So when the storms of life comes to my door, when the winds begin to blow and the thunder is sounding all around me, and the lightning can be blinded. And I was thinking about my sister-in-law's dog named Ozzy. Oh, he can hear thunder before you ever hear it. And so he begins to tremble. He begins to be fearful. And I remember my mom having a dog when I was little. And this dog would know that the thunder was coming before anybody, or the storm was coming before anybody else, because it would start shaking. All you had to do was go open the door, and he would make a dive from under the kitchen table. He began to shake because he began to hear the thunder. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring thunder all around you, to begin to cause you to fear, and begin to cause you to lose hope, and begin to cause you to think there's no rest for the people of God. And the lightning can be blinding, and the rains begin to beat down, and that's when we reach for that anchor of hope. Hallelujah. The anchor steadies us. The anchor holds us fast. The anchor keeps us from drifting away off course. The anchor gives me peace to lay down and sleep. And like I said, you may be in the most sunshiny time of your life right now. Everything's going great. But when it does hit, I don't want you to forget about the anchor that's there. I don't want you to forget about the anchor. Remember this song, I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea by faith alone, sight unknown. And yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held in my hand, but I never knew they would slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. You know, and going back to that movie again, I remember that couple that was holding on to that steel or whatever it was that was anchored in the ground. And they held to it and they were fastened to it. And after the tornado passed and the wind and the rain and the thunder that all that came along with it, after it passed, they looked pretty rough, but they were safe and they were alive. They were safe and they were alive. And sometimes when we come through storms, we may be looking rough. Amen. We may come with a limp sometimes, but I want to tell somebody right now, you've got that limp for a testimony. And Jesus says to you now that take courage, take courage, take courage, take courage today in the hope that he offers you. And I don't know what is going on in your life today. I don't know what report you have been given this week. I don't know what you've been struggling with. I don't know what report that you may have an appointment to go to next week to hear from. There are some things that I do know. There are some things that I don't know. A lot of things I don't know. But there's one thing that I know, that God does not lie. His word is the truth. It's the anchor for our souls. Amen. In times that we need it. But I do know that he's the way maker. I do know that he is the promise keeper. I do know that he's light in the darkness, in the storm. The healer, the deliverer, and the restorer, the one that is for you and not against you. And Jesus loves you. And I want you to know today that he is for you and he is not against you. And I want to pray this prayer for you today in Romans chapter 15, 13. May the God of hope. Just lift your hands right now wherever you are and just receive this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. All joy. Joy of the Lord is your strength. and at peace as you trust in Him. Trust in Him. Not the stock market, not what's going on out there, not the economy. Trust in Him. So that what? You may overflow with hope. By what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for those that have listened to this word today. I thank you for those that will be listening to it later or re-listening to it. There's always something new to hear and something fresh that comes out of it. I thank you that your word doesn't go forth void, God, but it accomplishes purpose. That seed of your word that will grow into our minds and cause peace to come, to cause stability to come, to cause encouragement to come, and to cause us to rest in you, that we can go down and lay down in green pastures and rest in you. Even the storm is raging around us because the anchor is what's holding us. The anchor is what's holding us. And I speak God's blessings over you today. I speak that God's goodness is running to overtake you. I just speak that you are free to be who you are in Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody.
wait just a minute. You say, now, Pastor Laverne, in that unbelief, did you already get it once? Well, I tell you, I just like to live by the book of Acts. And in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and it just, all, everything just went crazy in the tongues of fire and all that. And then later on, they said, God, all this stuff's happening and this persecution, just fill us again. When do you need refilling? When the persecution's coming, when the storms are coming. Amen. Revive us.
Revive.
Amen.